may not be connected directly, but we all must understand in this globalized world that everything is interdependent. Any small event in one part of the world affects the other. The more you make an authoritarian regime stronger by kowtowing, bending to them, to their wills, to their commands, then they become much more bolder. You know, so when governments will do whatever they can at their level, but government will react to its people's wishes because people decide who should be in the government. So every single American counts, whether it's to do with Tibet or Uyghur or Inner Mongolia or Chinese people in China, or whether it's Korean people in North Korea, or whether it's people in the Middle East who are going through a lot of suffering. So anybody who is suffering and anybody who is denied or devoid of all these freedoms, please help guarantee this, because every single person's voice matters. Thank you.
Thank you. Pempa Tsering, he is the representative for the Dalai Lama at the State Department, recently elected to this position and taking it over. It's very important and a delight to meet you.
It's a pleasure. Thank you so much. And good to be in touch with people in Portland. Please support us. Thank you.
You've been listening to Political Perspectives. My guest has been Pempa Tsering, who was in Portland over the weekend, visiting with members of the Tibetan community in Portland. Pempa Tsering is the representative of His Holiness the Dalai Lama at the Office of Tibet, based in Washington, D.C. I'm John Schott for KBOO.
And you're listening to KBOO Portland. Coming up next, it's Chris Andre hosting Air Cascadia. Stay tuned for that. And then at 10:15, we've got Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. It's your daily news magazine. 11 o'clock, we have the Dirtbag coming. They'll be talking about growing citrus in Oregon and also the Dirtbag Dirt Dictionary and Jim's Farm Follies. We thank you, KBOO members, for your generous support. And here's a reminder for you that all new and increased gifts to KBOO through the end of the year are going to be matched one-to-one. So we say thank you to the Collins Foundation and SSI Shredding Systems for that. Go to kboo.fm on the web and click on Donate. Thank you. Stay tuned for Air Cascadia after this.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Portland Rocks with Standing Rock on Thursday, December 15th at 8 p.m. at Dante's. This event will include native speakers, raffles, and live music by Spirit Lake, Miller & Sasser, Midlife Crisis, John Dutch, and more as a benefit for camps at Standing Rock. Again, that's Portland Rocks with Standing Rock on Thursday, December 15th at 8 p.m. at Dante's. Dante's is at 350 West Burnside Street in Portland. More information can be found on the KBOO website, kboo.fm, on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good morning, Cascadias. Today is Wednesday, December 14th, 2016, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM on the air, kboo.fm on the web, sanctuary radio everywhere. Today's guest is Matt Stannard, the Public Banking Institute, Cowboys on the Commons, all kinds of interesting online places to go. That's Matt for you, Mr. Public Banking. We're going to talk a little bit more about public banking and cities, speaking of sanctuary cities. Cities that that Donald Trump says he is going to withhold funds from if they continue to perform as sanctuary cities. And sanctuary cities says go right ahead. We're going to shift to public banking, something that the Donald didn't see coming, something that some of his Wall Street friends are smacking their foreheads right now and saying, duh, over their brandy-laced lattes. We're also going to try and talk a bit with Dick Cady about the Elliott State Forest punt down the line. We have a little bit more time. This was a notable example, a real triumph, in that voices of those opposing the sale, the level-headed, calm, well-informed voices whose points are all down the line based on firm scientific foundations, showed up, made their statements, and managed to convince Governor Kate Brown et al. That this idea of selling it off is ridiculous. If you think about it, the whole idea of selling off forests like the Elliott, which is such a valuable resource for so many reasons and for so many people, the idea of selling off this piece of land to be turned into toilet paper or something is absurd. And it's other states have figured out better ways of, even very red states have figured out better ways of funding education. I mean, come on, how much education is this going to pay for? Is the sale of the Elliott going to pay for anyway? What? You know, like recess for a couple million kids? Come on. And it's, besides which, nobody gets educated anymore. They get trained to do jobs so they can make money and become good consumers. Citizens are educated. Consumers just have to be trained. And that's all that we are getting for our money and our forests. Okay. We are living in a coup situation. Don't forget the groundwork was laid with the Patriot Act. There's people that don't know what the Patriot Act is. They don't know that there was a time before the Patriot Act. They haven't got a clue. That's right. So now we're going to have a Homeland Security guy who used to run Guantanamo Bay and is going to eschew political correctness, which apparently means that more groping in line at airport security and probably other such artifacts from the 19th century. Yes, don't forget, we are living under the Patriot Act. That's the groundwork for a coup d'etat. And we are experiencing a coup d'etat right now. And if we don't come up with a stronger opposition, resistance to this, than we came up with when the Patriot Act was rolled out, then we deserve to live under a dictatorship. And that's probably exactly what Trump is looking at for himself. This is probably a very accurate description of what he plans for his own future. That said, I want to welcome Matt Stennard, Public Banking Institute, Cowboys in the Commons, and the economics one I cannot remember, but go ahead. Good morning,
yeah,
Matt.
Hi, Chris. It's great to be back. I'm a commonomics.
Commonomics is such a great word. I love it.
It is, but sometimes it's hard to remember.
Well, it shouldn't be. Anyway, yeah, welcome back. We're so glad to have you on the show today. There is a lot to talk about. I have one general question, and then I'll let you talk about some of the recent events that in the public banking world. So, people have been talking now about a general strike. Well, we have a coup d'etat in progress right now. Yet now the idea of a general strike is being rolled out again, which won't work. It would work if we were citizens, but we're not. We're consumers. This is not a democracy. This is capitalism. And, I'll just take a look at the election results. The left is so crippled by its own ego and narcissism that you can't get people to think on behalf of the commons. So what do we do under these circumstances? Well, I think that money got us into this, and money's going to get us out. This sharing economy terrifies Wall Street because money is migrating to these alternative type businesses, and that's exactly what they don't want to see. Public banking, of course, there should be and that Uber or Airbnb type of a banking right now, and we should be able to set up our own market. There's NASDAQ, the New York Stock Exchange, commodity trades. There should be a left side to money markets. Anyway, that said, let's talk public banking because it's incredibly important right now, especially for sanctuary cities.
That's correct. And what Mark and I wrote about in this article, which is at Truthdig, essentially argues that local economic autonomy is what we need to push back against. When we feel like the configuration of the federal government isn't going to be working in our interest. And one of the most obvious ways for cities that consider themselves sanctuary cities, which are cities as small as Santa Fe and as large as Los Angeles, and number of cities in between, is that the new administration has threatened to cut off millions of dollars, sometimes hundreds of millions of dollars in federal aid if these cities won't comply. And essentially what they need to comply with in order to get that money is that if law enforcement picks up an individual, the federal government wants local law enforcement to inquire as to that person's status and to turn them in to the feds and turn them into ICE in order to have that person deported. And what these mayors and city councils are saying is that's not in our interest. That's not a good expenditure of our resources. And it actually causes worse problems. It causes a lot of economic problems in the cities if law enforcement starts doing that. And of course, it just is contrary to the culture of those cities. And the example I like to use, again, is Santa Fe, which, as we pointed out in the article, has been welcoming immigrants and has been a path of human migration for over 400 years. So Santa Fe has been an immigrant city at longer than the age of the Republic, longer than the United States has been around. So these mayors and cities are pushing back, and having a public bank as a source of financing in your own city is a great way to be able to push back, because it says we can, we can manage our own economic affairs.
That's, and again, that is a huge threat to Wall Street. The idea that this is like sanctuary banking.
Yes, sanctuary banking. That's a very good way to put it.
We could call them sank banks. Yeah, so sanctuary banking is what is coming as cities, counties, states see that their best interest lies in an alternative scales from the smallest,
as far away from Wall Street as possible.
Yeah,
that's really the solution to the economic end of so much of this. But I also
could you say that again? I don't know whether this is going out in broadcast, but the audio fell out just a moment ago. Could you just repeat that, please?
Yes, cities need to get as far away from Wall Street as possible, and the fact that cities have been trapped in this Wall Street trap makes cities more vulnerable to federal pressure on these things. And Trump has put people in his cabinet that are the same people that have been benefiting from Wall Street's pillage of cities for the last several decades. And so it really is, the connections are very clear in this case. This is not, tinfoil hat stuff. This is, cities and states and counties can push back against both the federal government and Wall Street by creating their own banks.
And that's the way we're going to have to go. I mean, a ray of light here, because it does begin with money. It does begin with banking. That money does give people power, and it's sad to say, it gives them a voice. And if money is redirected away from Wall Street, away from the, the chain stores and chain store type businesses, then we have local control over revenues and a great deal more range of the possibilities of what we are able to do at a city level, county, and statewide. If we don't like the way Wall Street is running our lives, we run our lives the way we see fit, and we have a healthier society, I think. And whether like it or not, people, it does have a lot to do with money. And sanctuary banking is probably the way to go for us under a Trump attempted coup d'etat. I don't see any other way to confront what's happening right now in D.C.
I think this is important because every time we show that cooperation works and economic cooperation works, we strike a blow against fascism. The way that we respond to fascism is by showing people that democracy and cooperation are things that can actually work. And so I think there's a lot at stake for these cities and cities that, you know, have decided to stay sanctuary cities in the face of the administration's assault, are really important bulwark against what we're about to see happen in our country.
Thank you so much for that, Matt. I'm absolutely delighted. I'm so glad I was able to talk to you about some of these things. And of course, Santa Fe is a perfect textbook example. We want to hopefully other people listening out there online are picking up a few ideas from this. Your views on how we confront fascism. This is it. Thanks again. My guest, of course, has been Matt Stannard with the Public Banking Institute. And the Cowboys of the Commons, our AM News and Public Affairs Director is Debbie Crooks. Engineering for us today, of course, Tammy Dean. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts, know your rights, take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland Saturday Market.